been on there for a whole week, so Baruch Hashem, we managed to put it out. But so this is, I think, the last of these of this series, because I was chatting to Rav Yanki after the shiur, and he said he thinks it would be practical. People want to know how to add water to a chalent on Shabbos, yeah. And therefore that's why it's the last one, and hopefully it'll be beneficial to everyone here. Although, evidently not. It's not so useful. But anyway, so in truth, the shiur, I think, could be divided into a few parts. And there are various isurim of Hilcha Shabbos that you could potentially be over when you add the water to the chalent, when you add any liquid to food on the fire. And it's relevant, I think it's very relevant if your food is dry and you want to save it for the meal. But there are various isurim that you could be oivan. And one area of Hilchos Shabbos you have to consider is chazara. That when you take food off the fire, you can put it back. But you can't put something on the fire on Shabbos. Because it's, simply speaking, one reason, which is the easiest to understand, is that it's mechzika mavasha. Which means, we discussed last time, if something is fully cooked, you can't put it on the fire on Shabbos. Even though you're not transgressing the malacha of bishul at all, and ain bishul acha bishul, we can't cook after you cook. Let's imagine a piece of meat without any liquid. You can't re-cook something. Yet, if you put it on the fire on Shabbos directly, you're over an issur d'rabbanan, of the sinu lechatchila, of putting something on the fire on Shabbos. Yet, chazara is mutar. And it's important to consider that when you take hot water from a kettle, even if it's a different fire, it's next to from the Shabbos kettle, and you put it into any food on the fire, in truth, you're doing a chazara, that's all you're doing. And that's what the Aruch HaShabbos explains it. You take water out of the kettle, you're taking it from the fire, and putting it back onto the fire. That's chazara, and that's mutar on Shabbos. So that's the first thing to think about. It's not a new kind of halacha, taking water and adding it on. It's chazara on Shabbos. Even though it's two different pots, it's still called chazara. let's imagine it's on the fire, on the blech, once it's off the fire, it's slightly more complex. There's not enough time to discuss moving from off the fire to on. Not necessarily. The Shabbos kettle is next to the blech,
yeah.
And the blech is next, you know, your Shabbos kettle is not the blech, it's plastic, right, or it's metal. Not necessarily an old-fashioned water. But still, they're both on the fire, there's a heating element below the Shabbos kettle, and you have a blech, and you're moving from one to another. So if you could consider it to be an act of chazara. Now, that's not so simple.
Not got it, sorry. It came from a Keli Rishon into a Keli Sheni?
No, forget, no. No Keli Sheni yet.
Sorry,
just before anything else. If you take your chalent pot and you put it under the Shabbos kettle and you pour water into it,
yes.
Then you're taking water from one hot fire and putting it into the other, so you're returning. Now, what you're discussing is the case we'll discuss in a minute. No, it's fine. But that's, you're doing chazara. Maybe I wasn't clear with the explanation. You're taking a pot, you put it under the Shabbos kettle, and you're pouring water inside of it. So water's coming from one area of the fire and going to another area of the fire. It's two different fires. That wouldn't make a difference. So it's mutar. That's chazara. And that's really everything. We're done. But there are obviously always complications, but in truth, that's it. It's chazara. It took me a long time to get my head around this, and it's so simple, really. Chazara doesn't just mean you're taking your chicken soup off and you want to have it for tomorrow and you're holding on to it, you know, and you're making sure you have dust to put it back and all the things that many of us know. Chazara is also moving from one pot to another.
But the thing is, when you put it into the chalent pot, at that time, you're already taking that chalent pot off the fire.
Right, but it's still a pot that's considered to be on the fire.
Right, so it's a pot off the fire.
Right, but it's still a fire pot.
Right, right.
And you're right, we'll come to that in a minute, when it's a different pot, and it's a klisheni, then there are various other considerations, but it's still mutar. Yeah, it's still mutar, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman anyway, and according to Rabbi Falk, but according to many poskim, it's mutar. Yeah, all right, but hopefully we'll come on to that. There are various complications, but the first one is to consider it's chazara. And what we've discussed over here is if you put it into another pot and then return it, that will hopefully have time to discuss. I'm sorry for my late arrival. But the first thing, if you take water from the Shabbos kettle and you pour it somehow into the chanan pot, you're taking water from one area and putting it in another area, and that's chazara.
So I can't take glass under the
well, one sec. Right, that's what everyone's asking. Just bear with a second, and that's more practical and more useful to them. Because it's hard to move chanan pots, it's hot and it's boiling water. Generally speaking, that's an easy way, and that's mutter as well, according to Ashkenazim anyway. So let's just wait.
Doesn't the hot water become fleshy?
Right, so just bear with a second. Just bear with a second. So that's one, it's chazara. Number two, you have to consider, is that when the water's going in, you're stirring, in a way, because you're causing the mixture and the substance inside to be moved around. But that's also mutter, going to Rav Shlomo Zalman. As long as you do it very, very slowly and the food is fully cooked. So that's also okay. It's magus. Now we're machme on magus. We don't stir food even after it's fully cooked. Hagam, about a couple of months ago we discussed the Chazon Ish, I think it's in Lamed Zion, that says that if your food is fully cooked and you don't have a blech, or he considers the blech to be irrelevant, and you don't want to put the food back on Shabbos, you can even stir from the fire itself. But that's just as a side point. You see that stirring itself wasn't completely asa after it was fully cooked, according to all paskim all the time. And says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you pour very, very, very slowly in, and you don't, it's not like a powerful gush of water in which will cause all the food to disperse, then that's also mutter. That's magus. We've discussed chazara. Chazara is mutter on Shabbos. We've discussed magus stirring, which is also mutter on Shabbos. And finally, as we've discussed, there's a completely different area of Shulchan Aruch which we have to consider, which is basar b'chalav. Why? Because the zeyah, and the zeyah, we learn from a Mishnah in Machshirin, the zeyah, steam, very heavy steam, is considered to be like the liquid itself, and if it penetrates into the pot, a Shabbos kettle pot or whatever, it makes it meaty or milky, wherever the steam's coming from. And although there'll be nut banat, there'll be mutter to put it into another keli, it's complicated, because you have, in truth, a milky utensil or a meaty utensil if steam from a pot below goes up into the pot above it, which is brought in Tzadik Base in Yerodea Sif, I think it's Sif Ches. There's also another point to consider in Basar B'Chalav, that there's something called a nitzoik, a stream. And if you have a stream from one pot to another pot, then that's like a connection. And little tiny bits of like moisture travel up the stream, and they can make the other pot forbidden, according to the Prima Gadim in Yerodea Kuf Hei. So those are the areas to discuss, but even that, it's all mutter. So it's a fairly good share this morning, I would say, for how they go, because yes. Even that, there's ways forward for all of it, according to the mainstream Poskin, in the Kondra of Shlomo Zalman, which is all brought in Archa Shabbos, and the Kondra Rabbi Falk as well, in his books as well. So all this is going to be mutter, but it's a broad question. It's a really, it's chazara. Chazara is basically mutter, but there are a few exceptions. It's magus, but that's also mutter. It's basar b'chalav. But in this instance, as long as it's slightly, quite a few inches away from the pot, that's also mutter. So that's really the whole shiur. So if you lose me now, I think we're still good to go.
No, we're not losing you now.
Okay, well, good. Well, just in case.
Come on, the mainstream poskim.
What? Oh, no, not unintended, unintended. Now, there's just a few points to consider. First of all, it's in a way, you're talking about the lesser of the two evils. Because as we discussed, as everyone asked in the beginning, there are two ways of really adding water from your kettle, which is on the fire or next to the fire, to your chanan pot on Shabbos morning. Either you can take the pot off, which is chazara, we're all okay if you hold it on, you put it under, and the water enters, and then you put it back. That's one way of doing it. There's another way which we discussed, which you take a utensil, you put the hot water in, and then you put that into the Shabbos kettle. Those are the two ways.
Into the
chalon, I'm sorry. Now, the Gemara discusses in Kira, I don't remember the daf, I'm sorry. Pina lemechem lemechem. Even though if you take a pot off the fire, you could put it back onto the fire. It's mutter. That's chazara. It's not considered to be a new act of cooking. It's considered to be an old act of cooking. It doesn't seem like you're cooking on Shabbos, and therefore you aren't going to go on to transgress Hilchos Bishul, you know, by mistake. What happens if you pour from one pot into a different pot, and then you put that one back on Shabbos? And that's classified in the Gemara as a teiku. It's pina mimecham lemecham. You have one pot of food. You pour it into maybe a serving utensil. Could you put that serving utensil back onto the fire on Shabbos? That's a, right? So it's pouring into a kli sheni, and you're putting that back onto the fire on Shabbos. You have a cholent pot. You took your cholent pot and you poured it into another pot. Is that when you put the other pot or the contents of that pot back onto the fire, is that considered to be a new act of cooking? Or is that considered to be a continuation of the old act of cooking? And the difference, just a second, just to clarify, the difference it will make will be if chazara is mutter. Because chazara is mutter if you hold on, and according to Svarim, you don't have to hold on as long as it's not put on the floor. You're completely okay. They're much more meko in this area of halacha. And you, if you take the pot and you pour it into another one, let's say you're holding on to that one as well, or someone else's, just for argument's sake, could you put that one back? Now, is that considered to be a continuation of your original pot, your original chazara, which is mutter lechatchila to return, as we all do on Friday night or Shabbos morning? Or once you've put it into a different pot, you have to be machmir? Now, that will answer the question which was scenario two. I take from the pot, I pour it into a klisheni, and I put that back onto my fire. Or I pour the contents of it back onto the fire, but it's seen a different pot. It hasn't. It's not in the same pot anymore. So let's discuss that for a minute until the end. I mean, not until the end of the shi. I mean, until the end of that specific shaila. So again, I've got a chalim pot. I've got a Shabbos kettle. I put the Shabbos kettle on. I put some hot water into a little cup. I pour the cup very, very slowly over the chalim. Magus, it's mutter. I do it very, very slowly and smoothly. And it's not considered to be a stirring. It's fully cooked. We're not machmir for the kol boy. So I put it very, very slowly in. Now, I haven't really returned the same pot, it's a different pot which has come into the equation now. Is that also mutter? Is everyone with me on that?
Yeah. What?
Is that mutter? Is that okay? You understand Now, Svardin, that's completely asa. That's the first thing to consider. But not because of chazara, because of bishop. According to Svardin, once water or liquid has left the kli rishon and gone into a kli sheni, you cannot put it back into a kli rishon. According to us, this is completely mutter, but according to Svardim, that's also. Now, please don't be confused with the regular halachas that we know of kli sheni, of coffees and teas, of kli shlishi. That's a different consideration. That's whether a kli sheni can cook. And that's what we're used to considering in the halachas of kli sheni. I think it's a common confusion over here. We're not considering that now. When you have a cliché, does it cook? If you put the coffee granules, are they ready to be cooked? That's something else. Now we're considering something new in terms of Hilcha Shabbos. I've taken water from the Shabbos kettle, I've put it into the cliché. Could I take that water and put it back into a clirishon? Or is that considered to be an act of bishul? According to the Machaber, according to Ravadia, that would be completely forbidden for Sfardim. Because just like water that's gone below Yad Soledis Boy is forbidden, water that's gone from a kli rishon to a kli sheni, it's forbidden to reheat that. You're being mevashel on Shabbos. Liquid can be reheat. When you reheat liquid, according to Sfardim, that's a terrible thing to do. That's considered to be bishul, even if it was cooked already before. And therefore, this is asa. And there's no way for them to take water from the Shabbos kettle and put it into the chalent in this cup. Because your cup is a kli sheni, and you're pouring it then afterwards into a kli rishon. So that's forbidden. However, according to Ashkenazim, that's mutter. The reason why it's mutter is because we say, as long as the food is still warm, the Ramah says in the end of Shin Yud Ches, I think it's Sif Tesvav, then if the food was on the fire from before Shabbos, you could return it to the fire on Shabbos. This is the Ramah which is brought everywhere in Reish Nun Gimel and in Shin Yud Ches. So again, I've got a chalim pot and I've got a cup. The cup and the water inside the cup is now a klisheni. I take that and I pour it into the chalim. Svardim, there's a problem not to do with chazara, even though it's still returning back in, it doesn't matter. You've lost the status of a kli rishon, you've gone down to a kli sheni, and you've then raised it when you put it back into a kli rishon. That's considered to be, according to the Machaber, by liquid an act of bishul. And this is brought in the Bi'ah Halacha, quoted from the Prima Gadim, in Shin Yud Ches, I think it's on Sif Dalet. However, according to Ashkenazim, although you can't take something warm and heat it on Shabbos, if it was already on the fire on Shabbos, then you can return it as long as it's still warm, and that's not considered to be an act of bishul. And therefore, according to according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you take a cup and you fill it with water and you pour it then into the chalon afterwards, that's mutter. Chazara, we discussed right from the beginning of the shir. It's a real good, it's a healthy chazara, let's consider it that, because it was on the fire and it's going back to the fire. What's the problem with that? It's a different pot, that doesn't matter. And that's not even close to the question with Gemara when you pour into a different pot. These are all pots off the fire, and there's this little bridge. You're taking from one and put it into the other. That's mutter. You're worried about the fact that it's reheating from a klisheni till a klirishon. According to Sfardim, you're right, and therefore it will be forbidden to do that, because you're raising the status. But according to Ashkenazim, as we discussed last time, I think, and the time before, if you have liquid that was on the fire, and it's cooled down, even though it's only warm, it's not even boiling anymore, you could still return it. So in this instance, when the water's gone into your klisheni, you could then pour it very slowly onto the cholent on the fire, and I think that's we can complete that case completely when you take the cup and pour it on.
When you add the water back to the cholent, it can't be alweish, can it?
Even alweish. Right, so Rabbi Eliashiv is machmeh to take the pot and pour it away because of magus. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, even if it's alweish, if you pour it very slowly.
Really? So yes. Straight from
I'm sorry, I would have written all the sources, but I've just had a baby, so it's slightly hectic. Last week, I made the bris. So this morning, I wanted to write them down, but then the cleaner didn't come, so it was I wanted to write down exactly where everything is. I know people ask, but if you get me a Shmir Shabbat, Orcha Shabbos, then it's brought that Rabbi Eliashiv is machmeh and Rav Shlomo Zalman is makel in that case.
When you take the pot of cholent to put it to add water, so you put it down and then you leave it and then take it again. Are you allowed to put it down?
Yeah, that's a regular chazara, and the answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes, because all those are chumah.
You need to hold it.
No, right, but it's lachatchila. If you don't have das and you leave it there, then the Shmir Shabbos brings in I think it's Perek Aleph, in Bishol, that only if it's a Tzorech Gadol and you have no food at all for the rest of Shabbos. But if you miss just one of the Tanoim, which is very common, like you let go or you didn't have das, you weren't sure what you were using for, you thought it would just be for Friday night, and then your wife tells you it's for Shabbos morning as well, if you miss just one, then it's mutter to put it back. And Sfardim definitely. The Sfardim are very machmir with the Bishol of reheating liquid, but they're very makel with the Chazara. As long as it's not on the floor, you're okay. But Ashkenazim as well will also makel. More than we think. There are many other heterim. There's a run, but it's not for now. That's a general Chazara question. So far we've completed one. There's one scenario we've done from beginning to end. You have a Shabbos kettle, you have cholent, you have water from one, you pour it into the other, and pour it very slowly. According to the Orcha Shabbos, even if it's going to be on the fire, that's mutter. Now, what about two, which we discussed in the beginning? You take your cholent pot, and you put it under the fire. Now, when you're doing that, you're also doing a Chazara. It's even better. Two pots on the fire, you're transferring from one into the other. It's just a little cup that you're pouring from one, that's chazara. But your problem is basa b'chalav. And your problem is, let's go through the problems separately, and then we'll leave off with this. The problem is that I've got zeya, I've got steam, that's going from the chonon, which is under the Shabbos kettle, up into the Shabbos kettle. And you're making it meaty. You want to make a coffee with it afterwards. It ruined the whole point of a Shabbos kettle, which is mainly for milky things, right? To have teas and coffees. So what are you going to do with that? So there's two problems, as far as I understand. One is in Kuf Hei, in Sif, I think it's Sif Gimel, in Yeridei Kuf Hei Sif Gimel, where we discuss a stream. Now, a stream is based on the Mishnah with Tumah Vatara in Machshirin. If you have a meaty pot below, and a milky pot above, and you pour from one to the other, the Nitzoy Chibor, that means there's a connection between the two. And in this instance, says the Prima Gadim in Yeridei, what does that mean? That means even if you can't see a massive amount of Zeya sort of going up into the Shabbos kettle, which is normally what's considered to be Zeya, there's another problem over here, in that you have a connection. And there's little bits of particles of water which will travel up the stream until they hit your Shabbos kettle and go in. And that's even if it's very far away. Nitzoy Chibor is even at a distance. So what are you going to do with that when you're turning it on, there's water coming directly in, and therefore you have a connection, therefore little bits of particles of your meaty cholent should go up into the
spout, outside of the kettle.
Or even outside. It wouldn't make a difference if it's, I understand, because if you look in Tzadik Beis here today, you find that even tipas cholav that hits on the side, it spreads and then it goes in, and then there's a whole half a simon on that, so it wouldn't make a difference. So, but that's mutter. Why? Because says the Chachmas Adam, if they're both hot, then if the top pot is hot and the bottom part is hot, then so to speak, it deflects the little bits of zeya that are coming up, and it won't let it penetrate. And therefore, even though there's a halacha of nitzoig, which means things can travel up your stream and then hit the top, even though you don't see them, it's mutter over here. And this is also brought in by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and in Orcha Shabbos, because the Chachmas Adam says it's shneim chamin. If your chana pot is boiling and your Shabbos kettle is hot, then in that instance, then the hot pot above will, so to speak, deflect these tiny bits that are coming up, and that's mutter. So we've conquered that. The last problem we're going to have is real zeya. What happens if you actually see loads and loads of steam coming up and entering into the Shabbos kettle? Then it's a problem. Because zeya is kamashke, and zeya is considered to be like the liquid itself, and then it's going to make it milky.
Meaty,
I'm sorry. In that instance, you have a problem. But what you can do, and according to Rabbi Falk, you leave it a few inches away, and then therefore, by the time the zeya hits the Shabbos kettle, it's not boiling hot, and it's slightly dispersed, and then it's mutter. So that's also mutter. Like I said, it's a positive outcome. Right, so therefore,
better off, like you said before, to take a separate cup.
Not necessarily, right, it's a question of the lesser of the two evils. Some poskim say, there's a basa b'chala question, keep well away from that, and therefore you're going to be so careful that you're a few inches away, you're going to have zeya is kamamish, right? You know, especially, you know, if there's a meal going on, you're not going to have time necessarily to think about that, and that I hear. Nitzoik, no problem. Why? Because the stream, you know, it's cham b'cham, says the Chachmas Adam, and it's mutter. However, if you've got zeya and you're going to put it fairly close, maybe that's a problem. That's one consideration. Let me just finish to answer that question. The other consideration is that the Magen Avraham is machmir, even by putting it into another keli and then putting it back on the fire. The Shaare Tzion in Reish Nun Gimel is mekel, but the Magen Avraham is machmir. Now, there's a letter which they bring in the back of Orcha Shabbos from Rabbi Shmuel Orbach to, I don't know who it's addressed to, that explains how in this instance even the Magen Avraham is mekel, and there are many ways to get around the Magen Avraham over here, which is not the time. However, you have to know that the Magen Avraham is machmir. And when the Gemara declares, Pina mimechem lemechem, if I take from one cup and put it into another, the Magen Avraham says, yeah, the Ashkenazim shouldn't do that. And the klisheni, not because of bishul, because of chazara, it's in a new utensil, it's considered to be a new act of bishul, it's in a single lechatchila, and therefore it's asa. So you could consider the Magen Avraham, and the Shaare Tzion is mekel. And Rav Shmuel Orbach asks, how can you make it against the Magen Avraham, especially as we're machmir all eras of Shabbos? Now he differentiates, as well as another safe, I don't remember the name, between the two cases. So not necessarily. However, they are both mutter, but it's a consideration of the lesser of the two evils. And I think still, a lot of poskim would still say it's better to move it under, because it's unlikely the zeya will be a problem, because you put it just further away. And then even after it goes in, even if the pot is yatzah ledes, Baruch Shlomo Zalman has letter to be mekel as well. So it's you've got two separate scenarios. You've got a scenario of taking a cup and putting it in, and then your problem necessarily is that you're pina mimechem lemechem, you put it into a different cup. That's mutter according to the Shaare Tzion. He relies on the run and other Rishonim who say it's mutter. But the Magen Avraham is machmir. So what you can do is, you can take the pot itself and bring it to the fire. Then you've negated all problems of chazara, because these are both pots on the fire, they're both pots that are hot. You don't have a problem with that. Your problem is a completely separate area of Shulchan Aruch, a basa v'cholav. So that you've got nitzoik and you've got zeya. Nitzoik, we can be mekel according to the Chachmas Adam, simply because if they're both hot, then it doesn't have the power to penetrate. That's what the Badei HaShulchan explains. That's the easiest to understand. And zeya, if it's further enough away, then it's mutter.
Sfardim would have to move the pot, though. They couldn't rely on
it. Just if we have time, Sfardim, I think, Ravada be machmir there as well. Because if you think about it, so Rabbi Yanki is saying, we discussed originally, that Sfardim, if they lower the level of heat, even if it's not lowering the level in Matzias of Yatzah Ledes, but rather lowering it in Din, you're moving it to a Klisheni, which we're all familiar with, a Klisheni is not Mavashel. We said it's also to put it back into a Kli Rishon, not because of the Shulchan Aruch of Chazara, but because of the Shulchan Aruch of Bishol Acha Bishol. You're recooking something, potentially Malacha Deraisa. Now what happens if you take the Charon pot and put it under the Shabbos kettle? Now there's liquid coming out from the Shabbos kettle into the Charon pot. What you're doing is Irui Kli Rishon. So you're still losing temperature, says the Rabbeinu Yoina, on the way out. And even though I don't think all Svadim are Machmeh, I think the custom is they wouldn't do that as well. And I think Ravadi, I think he said the Minigarity Swirl, this I've checked with someone, because I couldn't find it inside, he's Machmeh for that as well. So even though they'd be very Machmeh, because there's a Rabbeinu Yoina, I think it's brought in Shin Yud Ches, I think it's Sif Dalot, maybe it's Reish Nun Gimel, I don't remember, that once it's left, even though it's not in a cliche yet, Irui Kli Rishon, liquid that's come out of a Kli Rishon wouldn't necessarily be this, have the same potency to cook and to, as water can do, as the Kli Rishon itself. So that I think would be forbidden for them as well. I think he recommends you put a boiling hot water bag in the Shanut itself and you pop it on Shabbos morning, and he has ways to consider. But they'd be machme for there as well. Just to summarise, for everything... Yeah, sorry.
It's just an additional problem. If you stop for a moment to press the urn and it would become Nifseka Keluach, then you're in a different domain of heat as well. As long as it's going in one stream, you're fine. But if you stopped it, then it would be...
Then it would be better. Wouldn't that be better if
no,
it's not?
If it's Tulei Nifseka Keluach, it's only Mevashel Kedai Klipa, and you're putting it back on the Kirishon, which is Mevashel Kuloi. And if it's Nifseka Keluach, it's not... It's questionable.
Right. No, I think... So you're referring to Hilchos Bishel. But Hilchos Bishel couldn't... Right, yeah, but for Ashkenazim, as long as it's warm, it's mutter to put back. You wouldn't have to worry about that at all. Because once it was... You're right, you can't heat something on Shabbos, but we still treat it as a chazara. And therefore, even if it's warm, you could put it back. Your chicken soup Friday night, you take it off, and it's warm, it's edible to eat, it's not cold, you could put it back. So it'll be the same here as well. Even with Yeridei of Nifsek HaKiloach, and there's no Bishel, like I presume you're referring to, in Kuf Hei. I don't think it'll make a difference over here. Svanim would be terribly machme. Ashkenazim could be maker. So just to summarize, it's a fairly complex question, and there are many intricacies to it, but let's just discuss what we've said. There's one, putting water back in the same pots, different pots, it's regular chazara. It's like taking a pot off and put it back. Putting water into a different pot and then putting that back on, that's a shaila in the Gemara, according to most Rishonim, that's what the Gemara was discussing. You're putting into a separate utensil and putting the contents of that utensil, all the utensil itself, back on the fire, would be considered, according to the Magadam, to be in a sinah lechatchila. It would be akin to cooking on Shabbos, and therefore definitely forbidden. The Sharetzion would be Mekel. Now, even if we're Mekel, Svadim would have a problem. You've got a Bishul problem, you're taking food from a Kli Sheni and reheating it into a Kli Rishon. According to them, Nifsek HaKiloach and all the clippers, all that problem would be, according to us, we don't mind. Not that you can cook on Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom, but it's already been on there. And it's a continuation. And we'll say Ein Bishul Acha Bishul if it's still retained its potency of being warm, of being edible. That's the way Rishlomo Zalman explains it as well. Also brought in Orcha Shabbos. So that's one. Now, we finished off by saying there's a completely area of basa b'chalav. There's two really areas. Nitzoik, a stream. A stream is a problem. A stream is a connection. Little particles travel up the stream, says the Prima Gadim. And if you've got particles going from one to another, then you've got the Chachmas Adam to rely on. And Rosh Hashanah relied on it lechatchila. Why? Because the top one's hot, so it will deflect it, so that's mutter. But the one that you see, it's rare. It's rare to see loads of steam coming from a chalent really straight into the Shabbos kettle. But if you do see loads of steam which we would penetrate, then put it further away. Rabbi Falk says a good few inches away. And therefore, when it comes in and you pour it in slowly, then it would still ultimately be mutter. Shkoyach, thank you very much.
Yeah, Rabbi Sai, Tony says he's got an amazing lineup next week, but we're looking for a sponsor. Deals are available.